You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And it feels like way too many Bears fans have too much time on their hands to do this fan fiction, to start making up random theories. I don't know what the one I saw on Thursday night where people were now talking about Justin's illness, about, oh, this is part of the tank. Listen, I don't know how many times we can go over this time and time again, but the Chicago Bears are not tanking. They're developing players. They're trying to, they understand that they're eliminated from the playoffs. They're not tanking. The players out there are continuing to improve. They're trying to get better in this system, and they're trying to, you know, work on being here next season. You know, there's a lot of guys on one-year contracts who would probably still enjoy playing in the NFL. So there is no way that they're going to go out there and tank, as a lot of you. And there's no way that Justin Fields is going to fake an illness. This isn't Caddyshack. This isn't Al Cervak, played by Rodney Dangerfield. This is a guy who's been ill. Like, listen, I walk around right now. I just dropped my daughter off at school. And, you know, you see all the kids cough. Like, it happens. It's that time of year. It's impossible to avoid in some ways. But listen, this team is not tanking. Please stop your theories. Here's what we're going to do on Sunday. We're going to go out there. We're going to watch a game. We're going to watch Justin Fields against Jalen Hurts, and that's going to be that. If we win, we win. If we don't, we don't. But listen, we're not going to make these fan theories up anymore. I'm just glad the games are almost here. And Sammy, why don't we just go ahead and start the show?
Turn up your volume. Your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. The Sick Podcast. With Adam Ray.
Trying to cut it back. Justin Fields making magic happen.
The sickest Chicago Bears and fantasy football podcast, brought to you by Underdog Fantasy and Air Pura.
Sports entertainment like no other. It's gonna be sick.
Welcome to the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank, and we have got a great show for you here today. We are expected to be joined by one of my favorites from the NFL Network, Mike Garafolo, expected to join us at some point during our time here today. He is a longtime Philadelphia guy. Of course, he works for the NFL. He's more impartial than me. You know, obviously I go out there. Everybody knows I'm rooting for the Chicago Bears. I'm not shy about it. And, you know, part of the charm, I guess, so to speak, of me, I don't know if I have charm, but in any event, you know, everybody knows what I do. Mike Garafolo is a, you know, a national reporter. He just can't go around with a Chuck Bednarik jersey on. He's got to go there, show a little impartiality. I try to be as well. I try to be as even keel. I know people don't think that a lot of the times, but I try to be even keel. I try not to be very biased, very one-sided, but I'm very upfront about it. You know what I'm saying? Would you rather have a guy who is hiding behind it? Like, listen, like we watch sports reporters all the time. Like John Heyman, who reports on baseball, and of course, he's been a huge part of the winter meetings. He erroneously reported that Aaron Judge was not that sick. Aaron Judge was going to the New York Yankees, which of course turned out to be false. But he loves the Yankees. He doesn't come out and say it. And to me, and I think this is something that goes back to Bill Simmons years ago, where, you know, he was the Boston sports guy. You knew where he was coming from. You knew what his point of view was. And to me, it made that more enjoyable, made it more relatable. I do not like the Boston sports franchise teams, But it made it more relatable because I could understand his point of view, and there's no use hiding it. Everybody who's into sports grew up at some point loving a team, loving sports. It's very unusual outside of, you know, I will say, though, a lot of kids now grow up rooting for fantasy football. If you lived in Southern California like I did growing up, you typically rooted for the team of where you were from, which is me, the team that your parents rooted for, which is me, or you just loved Randy Moss and you were a Vikings fan. One of my friends famously did that. I will tell you, though, it's just one of the things, like, we're into sports, and it's, I don't know how to turn it off, but I'm glad I was able to clear the air on that. And as a quick reminder, we spend 90% of our time indoors, and indoor air can be 5 times dirtier than the air that we breathe outside. That is why I went to Air Pura and got an air purifier. Got one for my family because, you know what? An Air Pura purifier can remove tobacco smokes, odors, VOCs, wildfire smoke, chemicals, and viruses. Again, we were talking about an illness to Justin Fields, talking about my kids going to school with all the kids hacking and coughing and all that stuff. That's why I went out there and got an air purifier from Air Pura. We've been very happy with it. And of course, if you go to the www.airpura.com right now, use the code 67, you will get 7% off your order, which is a pretty cool thing. And you know what? I know one of our friends, one of our patrons, or what? He's a friend now. One of the group that joins us, by the way, and a quick reminder of that, you know, we're still meeting up at Rip Beer Company in Huntington Beach, California. We are sitting there every Sunday, enjoying the games is putting it mildly, but we got a nice little crew. We've taken over. It's the PCH location. We will be there again on Sunday. I'm not sure if we're the national game in Southern California. I'm assuming that we are. I'm just guessing. Like, this is a game that you would want to see. We're going to expect that. We do have a Vikings fan who shows up, but they play on Saturday, so we'll put the Lions game on there. And then the Commanders games are always playing because that's, you know, just in case any of the – so we still have other games going on as well. But I'm assuming that we're going to be the national game. And one of the reasons why is that we have this quarterback I can't call it a rivalry yet because – Jalen Hurts and Justin Fields haven't really played for stakes yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's two young, great quarterbacks. And I know a lot of people are going to be tuning in and they're going to want to see what's going on. And the one cool thing is that, you know, and if you're a fan, and whether you root for the Bears or not, or the Eagles or not, as a fantasy enthusiast, you're going to want to go out there because I'm sure that you have shares of them someplace, somewhere along the way. So this is one of the best. I mean, this is a game that, you know, from an outsider's perspective, this would be a game that you would want to see. And these are two quarterbacks that we expect to go and battle over the next decade or so, next decade plus, be battling for the top of the NFC. I'm not going to equate it to Magic and Bird, or I did on Fantasy Live yesterday. But listen, that's okay. Like, I was just spitting rhymes. I was spitting bars and everything like that. Speaking of the NFL Network, I'm not going to waste any more time because this is a very busy man. But joining us right now is a man who I honestly is one of the best in the business. He's not only an intrepid reporter, like his reporting skills, amazing. But over the last couple of years, up until this season, he was one of the hosts on Good Morning Football Weekend, where he got a chance to show his personality, show his chops. He is one of the more engaging, entertaining guys. You know what? He's been covering the league for a while now. He started off as a producer. He was at WIAP. As a producer in radio, and then he gets a gig with the New York Star Ledger. He was with the USA Today. So let's, without further ado, let's welcome to the show the great Mike Garofalo. Jeezy!
Am I in? I'm in. Yay!
You're in, buddy. Right. I had Dream no yard. Doubt about it.
I didn't know you used StreamYard, so as soon as I tried pull it up on the computer, I knew I had problems. So I'm probably a little late.
You're not late.
I'm on the phone now, so I got to let me frame up here.
No, you're good. Yeah. I knew.
Left
I didn't want
right,
to stress.
Right is left. Yeah.
Yes, we're buddy. Good. We're good. If I would have known, I would have worn a Henley too. Then we would have been indistinguishable. Except I have the presence of mind to dye my beard at least. Like, come on, Mike.
I haven't cleaned it up yet. So there we go. What do they call that? I used to know all the terms for camera moves.
Yeah.
You would truck forward. You would.
Oh my God! Yeah, my students were just learning this.
Truck, zoom. Truck, what do you call that? When you lower the cam, you,
oh,
Your students should know it because they may need it on a podcast in 25 years.
You know what? That's the thing. I'm going to use this is not, a teachable moment.
Yeah, it's not platform. It's not. Ask me a question. I'll come up with it later.
Lower the camera. I don't know. How are you? Are you well?
I'm good. Getting ready for Cleveland this weekend. I gather it's going to be cold, but it's going to be cold everywhere, so I really can't complain.
Yeah, even at SoFi Stadium last Sunday night, the Dolphins had to turn on the heaters. Like, that is a weird, like, that's, you've gone too far. But let me ask you, we're obviously here. We're going to be talking about the Bears. We're going to be talking about the Eagles. How good are the Eagles? Like, as we watch these teams, and there's some not-so-great football going on, how good are the Eagles?
They're really good, and they're as good as their quarterback has allowed them to be, which is, you know, better than he was last year from a passing standpoint, from a understanding. My point on him coming into the season was he's going to be better as a passer. He works too hard. He's too even-keeled. There's no way this guy goes backwards. He's only going to go forwards. The question is how forward. And I didn't think he'd come this far. He has absolutely impressed me. He's proven people inside that building wrong. That's why I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad to sit here and be like, oh, well, my expectations on Jalen Hurts were too low. Because I really, you know, when they traded Wentz, I expected to hear a lot of people like, all right, we're great. This is the guy. We love him. And it's funny because they said that after they drafted him.
Like, yeah.
This guy's unbelievable. He's great character. He's all this stuff. And then when they traded Wentz, I was like, all right, so we're pumping up Jalen now. And they were like, oh, just, you know, let him earn it. And you could tell by the tone, you know, it was like, well, we think he's got a shot, but now we may have to look for a franchise quarterback, which is incredible because when you take a guy that high and you've got a guy there already that you may just mess with his head, you better think that he's possibly a franchise quarterback to make that move. So going back, I don't know that they made the right move for what they thought they were getting, but he's proven them wrong. And good for Jalen. I love Jalen. I think he's great. He's been through a lot, and it hasn't caused him to waver at all. I give him all the credit in the world. He's made me a believer, and I hope he goes on to great things. I really do.
Well, yeah, and could it have been an instance where – now that you've traded Carson Wentz, you just can't come out and praise him because you want him to earn it a little bit since you traded away his competition?
Yeah, but it was more behind the scenes, right? It was more like, hey, this is just you and me talking, like, how much should I be? Hey, they've turned everything toward Jalen Hurts. And I listen, they had conversations with other teams about other quarterbacks. So,
oh, wow.
What is, I mean, listen, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, They at least had the conversations, right?
Yeah.
And I think even when they made the trade for Gardner Minshew, it was kind of like, well, he's another guy. Like, we'll throw a bunch of things at it and we'll see what hits. So I'm not knocking them by any stretch. Yeah. By any stretch. But Jalen Hurts definitely has shown them, you got a guy. It's me. I'm right here. I'm your guy going forward. I love his demeanor. I strive to be more like him. I mean, I'm Italian. The hands are going. The emotions are in front, you know. I'm never stoic.
Yeah.
You know, you'd like to have that poker face, but I wasn't born with it. So it is what it is.
You know, as somebody who has studied you and has had to do an impersonation of you, I know the movements and the things that we have to do to get the full Mike Garofalo effect. What about, was it A.J. Brown, though? I mean, was A.J. Brown the guy that unlocked everything? Obviously, the Eagles have a great offensive line, but was it A.J. Brown that just seemed to unlock everything for him?
It helped. But I think he was – I'll put it to you this way. So, and I mentioned this on game day morning the other day before the Giants-Eagles game. In talking to Eagles folks, they said, look, you can't overstate the fact that this kid's in his in the second year in the same offense with the same offensive coordinator for the first time since high school. Like, you can just keep saying that the rest of the season, and that's a huge factor for a kid who's been all over the map. So that's enormous. And the way that – you can explain it, and I did, was, you know, he would come in at halftime last year, and there's three basically passing coaches in the sense that there's Nick Sirianni, the head coach, Shane Steichen, the offensive coordinator, and Kevin Petullo, the passing game coordinator. So there's three minds that would come together at halftime of a game, or even before a game, but halftime of the game was the example, and say, hey, here's what we're seeing out there. Here's what we want to do in the second half. You know, what do you think? Okay, cool. Jalen, you know, same page. Yeah, cool. No problem. Now there's four voices. It's coming in at halftime or whatever, or on the sideline during a game. You know, Jalen Hurts saying to them, hey, here's what I'm seeing. Here's where they're trying to leverage us. Here's what I think we could, like, all of a sudden, the way that he's communicating back to them, not just how he's playing, but the way he's communicating back to them, it just shows a deeper understanding of everything from a passing standpoint. So it's he's definitely come a long way. And for your purposes,
yeah,
for all the people who are talking about Justin Fields and he can't do this, he can't do that again, maybe he can't right now. Doesn't mean you can't, you know, make advancements in those areas. I expect the Bears, we all know, to be extremely active this offseason to get all those targets around him and to help him on the offensive line. I mean, it's just they're going to make huge investments via draft picks, via money in free agency, and you're going to see a different Bears roster. And it's up to Justin Fields to do what Jalen Hurts did, to work hard, to stay here, which he seems to have a little bit of that too, that even keenness, if that's even a word, to make those advancements the way that Jalen Hurts did.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that the Bears fans have talked about for this entire season is following the blueprint that was laid out by the Philadelphia Eagles with developing a young quarterback. And you talk about the offensive coordinator. I mean, this for Justin Fields would be another opportunity, assuming Luke Getsy returns next season, for him to work with an offensive coordinator. Do you think the Bears are on that way? I mean, obviously they've got the draft. They've got draft picks finally. They have a lot of cap space. How difficult would it be to make that leap next season? I mean, maybe not going 12-1, but like being more competitive.
No, but to make a sizable jump, to say this guy's getting it. If there were any deficiencies last year, it was in large part because, you know, well, first of all, you saw the way that they adjusted midstream. That New England game was the start of it, to say, yeah, hey, look, we'd like to be this offense. We can't be this offense right now, right? He's still young. We don't have the pieces, so let's be this offense and let's get some confidence going and get and take advantage of his skill set to make him successful on the field, carry that confidence into the offseason, and then build off of that. I think it's really smart. I think it's going to sound crazy because the Bears may finish, what, 3-14 if they lose out, just theoretically. Like the worst case scenario is 3-14, and yet I'll still say, boy, what a great coaching coaching job that they did in their first year, because I think they did, they understood where they were coming into the season. They understood that they weren't going to be. I mean, that's why they made the moves that they made to let go of Roquan Smith. I mean, obviously, that's what it's about to move forward. The Chase Claypool one was, hey, this is a guy that we would get in the offseason. We got a chance to get him now. Let's bring him in now and let's start working on the future with him and bring him along. Unfortunately, he's had that injury, which has slowed things down. So, at least they have a plan, right? Sometimes I'm seeing these teams around and they don't seem to have a plan with what they're doing, both from a coaching standpoint on the field and from a front office standpoint. I don't know if the plan's going to work, but at least they've got a plan and you can see what they're trying to do.
Yeah, that's what we've been preaching, is like you can kind of see the way it's developing. It's like watching a really long movie, like watching Titanic as opposed to like Hot Tub Time Machine. Like, yeah, we're seeing like this is a long play, and I don't think we're at the point where we're playing, you know, the violins on the deck of the Titanic or anything like that. What is it always seems crazy because like every time I say stuff like that, and people just like blow it off like, yeah, whatever. I'm like, how, like, but you, it feels like you get it. Like I feel like you see what's going on. Why do other people, why are other people so wrong? Why can't they see it?
Well, you're a fan, first of all. Yeah. So everybody's going to say you're fanboy, but I mean, fanboy watches the team closer than anybody. So, you know, as long as you ground it in your belief of what's happening from a football standpoint, from your years of following the game, I'm good with it. I'm not calling you Homer or bandwagon or all this other stuff. And frankly, I know you had him ranked. If you weren't feeling it and it wasn't vibing, you would say, I don't like this. It doesn't feel right to me, right? I don't see the future. I don't see the potential, but you do. Why can't other people? Because people like to formulate opinions. And I'm learning this myself. Tua proved me wrong this year. I didn't think Tua was going to do what he's doing. Give him all the credit. We've seen guys before. Quarterbacks that come in with a certain skill set and they don't really build upon it and work. I mean, Lamar Jackson's done a nice job. I think Lamar Jackson could be even better. I really do. I don't think he's reached the ceiling. He's been an MVP before. That was great. He's phenomenal when he gets out there in his legs. He's done more with his arm than a lot of people thought he could. I think he could still be even better. I don't look at Jalen Hurts and say, boy, he could be like, he's pushing the ceiling of what he can be. I want to see more of that from Lamar Jackson. So people see that in a lot of cases with a lot of guys that come in and say, hey, he'll never be this guy. And a lot of times you're right. A lot of times the guy will never be that guy, will never advance in certain areas of his game. So people tend to lean more toward that way. I'm guilty of it myself from time to time. I do see more from Justin Fields, though. Like, I look at him and I go, okay, I understood coming in what scouts were saying about he's a one-read guy. He doesn't know how to – he's done it. I've seen it this year. He's capable of doing it. He's being coached to do it. It's a pretty good coaching staff. So I like the kid. I really do. I from afar, I haven't really had that much up-close interaction. But from afar, I love the things he says. In a lot of ways, I know he's had to take some stuff back or clarify some stuff, but I know in his mind, he's got the right mindset. So I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, it's one of those things when you're at Ohio State and you're playing Northwestern and your first read is Chris Olave, it's probably going to be there. It's just one of those things. Like, you didn't have to work on it. Like, I'm throwing to Garrett Wilson. Like, I don't need to worry about anybody else. So I think it's been a bit of an adjustment, obviously, working with these Bears receivers who are not getting open like those guys were in college. And I'm okay with it. Again, it goes back to – because listen, I've been wrong on a lot of stuff. Believe me. I actually was wrong on Justin Herbert. I didn't think Justin – I remember watching him at Oregon and being like, I don't know, man. Like, he doesn't play well against Auburn and these good teams. So I was skeptical on him, and he went and proved me wrong. But Jalen Hurts was a guy who I loved coming out of Oklahoma to the point that I had been saying – in my mock draft thing, my mock draft piece that I do every year. I'm like, I hope the Bears trade him or the Bears draft him, because I thought that much of him. So I'm good to see. And that's the kind of thing. It's the mindset, the way that they develop. You can go back to like Josh. I had a funny interaction with somebody on the fantasy show who was like, hey, you know, like Justin Fields could be kind of like a, you know, like Josh Allen. And this person, I swear to God, goes, I wouldn't say Josh Allen. I go, I would say more like Steve Young. And I'm like, okay, so you're just comparing him to a Hall of Famer instead. I'll take it. But you mentioned something about the trade, the Chase Claypool trade, a second round pick, which was their own, which is now looking like it's going to be a really good pick. Do you think the Bears made a mistake with that, or was that just the cost of doing business?
When I thought it was going to be the other second, who's the other second belong to?
Why am I Ravens? The Ravens.
Okay, so that was so the spread between those picks is going to be what, 20 something? But I'm sorry. I don't mean to kind of revisit
it's
that.
Fair. Oh, no. Bears fans are rooting for that. That's what they want you to. The Bears fans are still holding out hope that Houston's going to win a couple of games, and somehow we're going to get the number one pick.
Yes. It's a little high. I thought it was a little high. But, you know, you at least take a swing. You know, I would have preferred if it was the late two.
Of course.
Even at the time, I mean, I think everybody understood at the time where these teams were going to go as we got deeper into the season, particularly because of the Bears' plan at the trading deadline to say, hey, look, we're not punting on the season. We're just making the long-term moves in the best interest of the long-term teams. Did they make a mistake with that? Probably. Probably could have gotten them for a little less, if not then, than moving forward. So it's going to sting. When the Steelers are on the clock, it's gonna hurt. Just go for a walk or something, then come back.
Well, at least it's a team that doesn't have a history of making great draft. Oh wait, that's the worst. See, if we had traded to a different team, like if we had traded it to Cleveland, or not Cleveland, but somebody else, you'd be like, it's okay. The Steelers will pick some all pro, and you'll be like, yeah, that'll make it terrible. But at the same time, we have the Ravens. So I forgot. Like, I keep going into these games. I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to be rooting against the Ravens. Like, what am I doing? Like, let's go Bengals. So it's one of those things. Do the Bears have a chance this week, though? I know that the Eagles – let me lay this out for you. Let me lay out the crazy fan theory. This is kind of like the, hey, Jack was never really a person. He was part of Rose's imagination. So forgive me if you'll indulge me. I think the Bears
– I've never heard that theory. Wow.
Can you? Yeah, I saw that. I can't take credit for that. Somebody told that to me, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm never going to watch that movie the same. But I'm sitting there the last time the Bears had. So I always have to like, because I'm on TA every Friday and I always pick the Bears and I always have to find a justification because Thomas Davis is like Homer and MJ's making fun of me. And I'm like, here's my realistic plan. And sometimes it sounds stupid, but they've been close in a lot of games. So they're like, God, you were kind of onto something, but they're a piece or two away, which is fine. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, The last time the Bears had an extended time off, which was the mini bye going into the Monday night game against the New England Patriots, they came out and smoked them. Justin Fields looked like a completely different player. They really used that time wisely. I'm not saying they're going to do that to the Eagles, but with a long time, this is their bye week. The Eagles have the Cowboys the following week, which is a potential. Yeah. Like, this feels like a potential trap game. And we saw last week what Houston did to Dallas. Did the Bears, do they have a little bit of a chance?
Yeah, I mean, it could put a scare into them. I was just thinking, we don't talk about the trap. I don't know if the trap game exists anymore because it really, truly is any given Sunday in the NFL. It used to be, you know, you had the haves and the have-nots, and I just feel like there's been way more upsets this year, period. So I feel like a team is on. Now, the other thing is, it's hard to keep that intensity for 18 straight weeks for every team. And it's just, it was hard for 17. It's even harder for 18. It's going to be way harder when we get to 19. I didn't tell you that. Just pretend that.
Stop it.
I don't want it.
I'm trying to go the other way.
Yeah, I want to go back too.
We need 14 games. 14 would be perfect. Two bye weeks. We'll spread the season out.
Oh. I like your thinking there, Rank. Hell, even add a playoff team and take away a regular.
100%. Take away a bye. Yeah,
we're all over the place. Yeah, I feel like the Eagles last week were just clicking on all cylinders, and it's like this team's gonna have a clunker. Now they've got the Bears, the Cowboys on Christmas Eve, the Saints on New Year's Day, and then the Giants in a game that they may not even play. We'll see. Which is going to be the ultimate. It's probably not irony. It's just an interesting situation because a couple of years ago, the Eagles didn't play when the Giants had to get in. Now, do the Eagles lay down against the Giants in a game that they may need to get in? Boy, they are a disappointment. Well, they're now the team that, somewhere between the team they were and the team they are, is the team that we actually expected of the Giants this year. What was the question? Do the Bears have a shot?
Yes.
I think they give them a scare. I saw this Eagles team in Indianapolis on the verge of losing. Put it together down the stretch and win that game. That showed me that, okay, at least when their backs are against the wall, even if it's not against a great team, they can respond. So I guess I would lean more toward the Eagles winning in a close game. But if it's well within the expected range by some folks out west in the desert, I would not be surprised.
It's so funny because you just laid out the best case scenario for most Bears fans is that they want the Bears to be leading. Playing really well. Justin Fields runs for a touchdown. He's throwing the ball over the field. And then they blow a late lead. So they keep their draft pick. But they've proven to everybody that they can hang with people. And I think that's what most people are kind of considering. There's also people, and I address these before you arrive. Every week I have to explain to people, nobody tanks in the NFL. Maybe, you know, the owner might appreciate it if they didn't win a game or two. But there's no way. Like, players don't tank, right? Like, this is – I need somebody more credible than me to express this. Yeah. I try to say it every week. Like, these guys don't tank.
I just had this. My wife was like, why are these guys, their record is so bad. Like, why are they even playing? I was like, because they're playing for their jobs, right? That guy out there that you don't know his name, that slot cornerback who's playing because the two guys ahead of him got hurt and now it's his chance. He's playing for a job either with that team or with another team. And these coaches are coaching for their livelihood as well. I covered the Giants back in 2004 was the first season I covered the Giants. They were 5-4. They were 5-2. Then they lost two in a row. And Coughlin said, here's my opening to put Eli Manning in. I know – he didn't say this out loud, but in his head. Yeah. I know that we're pretty much giving up on the season because back then rookie quarterbacks weren't ready to play. So you knew it was going to be a learning curve. And he goes, I know what I'm doing, but I got to get this guy in this season. If they leave Kurt Warner in, they probably make the playoffs that year. Instead, they lose six games in a row. They go from 5-4 to 5-10 going into the last week. They beat the Cowboys. Bill Parcells coached Cowboys. 6-10 as well. Not a great team. But it was a Sunday night game before the flex time. What a horrible end of the season, by the way. Last game, it was a Sunday night ESPN game. And Eli gets to the line with like 9 seconds left. And no timeouts. And they're at the 5-yard line. And he calls an audible from a pass to a run to give the ball to Tiki Barber, rushes into the end zone, touchdown. It was a very risky call. it was the right call based on what he was seeing in front of him. And I'm telling you, for that was January, for 7 to 8 months after that, that's you kept hearing about it, right? And it gave them a reason to believe going forward that we've got the right guy. I even wrote a story when they faced the Cowboys the first time that year. They were maybe, you know, 5-2 or 6-2, whatever it was, and they had gotten off to a great start. And I wrote a story for that Sunday leading up to the game about what that last game meant. And I said, you know, Sean O'Hara, you know, now our colleague at NFL Network, I remember talking to him, and he goes, it gave you, you still had to come in, you still had to work, but it gave you that feeling in the middle of OTAs in May of, yeah, okay, we ended on a high note. We're moving in the right direction. Just that one game, that one call, that one moment at the end. So this is what guys are playing for. This is what coaching staffs are playing for, or coaching for, excuse me, heading into the season to give you that little boost moving forward. These are important games to them. The tanking aspect of it is just what the Bears did at the trade deadline, which is, yes, this move is going to hurt us in 2022, but it's going to help us in 2023 and beyond. That's the extent of tanking that you get in the NFL these days.
Yeah, because we're developing players, and I think that, you know, as you watch these games on Sunday, you watch them a little bit differently. Talking about Justin Fields, we want to see him develop. Similarly, on the other side of the football, Jack Sanborn is starting to become a folk hero in Chicago. Like, people are already, like, comparing him to Brian Urlacher and Dick Butkus and Mike Singletary and all the greats of the past, and you're like, oh, I mean, we can slow down a little bit. That's like, but it is cool, and it is going to be something that, and I keep telling our producers that, you know what, the offseason is going to be great because there are so many players that people have identified with so far this season, like Justin Fields and Sanborn.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully Brisker. Well, Brisker's already like a superstar. Kyler Gordon is coming around. So when you trade a player like Roquan Smith, it's a little disappointing. Why do people keep bringing up this Roquan Smith thing? Because I saw that pop up on Pro Football Talk, and it's like, I thought we understood. We moved on. We've already wished him well. But now he's out there. Is this going to be a thing where he just takes shots at the Bears from here to eternity?
Probably. I mean, everybody needs their motivation. You know, guys used to have the list of, here are all the players at the position that were drafted ahead of me.
Oh, yeah.
Antonio Pierce, when I covered him, he was undrafted. He had all the drafted guys. And he would cross them off as they would disappear. This guy's got, and he got to a point where he had, like, I don't know, maybe four or five left, and he had, unfortunately, had a career-ending neck injury. Otherwise, he would have outlasted all of those guys. That everybody's got to have something to kind of motivate them. When do they play? Do you know when the Bears and Ravens play?
We got the West. Yeah, we have the West next year, so if I'm not mistaken. So I don't know if when we'll be able, but he won't be on the Ravens anymore anyways, so.
Oh, you think he's going to sign elsewhere?
Oh, he could. I don't know. I just don't think – like, that was the whole thing. Is like, the Bears were just not going to invest into it. And it's like, why not just – like, they sent you to a playoff team.
Yeah, they played last year, 16-13 Ravens over Bears. So you're still three more years away from that storyline being something you're going to hear all week long leading up to the game.
That was the Tyler Huntley game last year. So, okay, I guess it's one of those things. It's like how we would always like be mad at Jason Hartilius, our producer over at the Good Morning Football Weekend, have that kind of axe to grind with people moving forward, and that's how they motivate them. But listen, what's up?
Are you saying goodbye to me?
Why do you? You need to go. I don't want to keep you too long.
No, I know
you're busy.
Somebody just sent a text that may be Bears related. I'm not sure. So just
what
I
is
just
it?
Asked, I don't know. I asked for clarification. So. Let me see this. Hit me with something else. Anything you want to talk about while I wait for this answer?
Okay. Very
but
fun.
It's from somebody. It's from somebody who gave. So it's me and. Problem is, I can't just. Oh, yeah. Never mind. I thought he was talking about Tev. Never mind. Go ahead.
I was going to say, don't burn your sources on this show, of all things.
Well, it was somebody who told me and Ian on a group thread that Mike White was not starting on Sunday. This was 2 days ago. And then yesterday we were like, dude, Salah said that Mike White is starting. He's like, I'm telling you, he's not going to play. And we didn't believe him. And so today we were beat on it, and he was yelling at us. So before he sent us this little scoop here, he said, you will probably bleep this up too, but I'm going to give it to you both. Because he's mad at us that we didn't have the scoop. But sometimes it's like
– we can't do anything.
The coach just said the other guy's playing. And he's like, I'm telling you. And sometimes he tells us and he's wrong. But this guy told us and he was right. So anyway.
Son of a gun. Then Schefter gets it, and then everybody does their victory laps. Whatever. We had it 2 days ago. I'm coming in with you guys. Hey, we had it now. Yeah, that's going to be, what's the situation like? I guess, you know, I need this information for fantasy purposes. How do the Jets players feel about that? Like, it feels like, hey, like you broke up with a toxic ex and you're like, okay, good. So long, jerk. And then they show up at the Christmas party together and you're like, oh, okay. We got to make some small talk now. What's that going to be like for the Jets?
He's got, they'll rally around him, right? Like, yeah. if he just shows them, hey, while I was down working with the scout team, because the whole thought was he's going to work with the scout team against our starting defense, and that's going to cause things to break down, and he's going to have to react in practice and learn to, okay, when things are breaking down, because, you know, he's become this ordinary quarterback. He was drafted because of his ability to throw. Remember those pre-draft workouts?
Oh, yeah.
He was able to throw, and you're not seeing any of that. He's just the guy when he's out there. So let's unlock that and say, hey, you need to be comfortable in uncomfortable situations. So that was the thought. So now if he goes out and all of a sudden he's got a play where he's breaking down and he's on the move and he throws it 40 yards down the field to the opposite hash, a little bit of that, and the Jets receivers will suddenly be like, okay, all right, there it is. Like, so that's how they'll respond. It's a question of if you get, but if he's the same old guy that he was before, this could be a net negative for Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I wonder how Elijah Moore, if he's asking for a trade again, and if so, come to Chicago. We'll welcome you with open arms. But that was one of the things too. Like, he was benched before they played the Bears, which in most normal circumstances you would think like, well, this is an opportunity to go up against a defense that's, you know, kind of beset by injuries, that just traded Roquan Smith, that is not one of the tops in the leagues. Let him go out there and get some confidence against the Bears, where they're like, no, we're just going to go to Mike White. And it worked out. It ended up being the right decision. Going up against the Lions, could that be that way for him? Because that Lions team has struggled against the pass this season. Is this a real out? And what happens if he doesn't perform? Could this actually end up being the end of him in New York?
It doesn't feel like it could be that, but it's pretty dire. And to the point where I at what point is it gonna, like, this is, you played this hand. This is why I didn't think they were gonna bench him in the first place. I thought it was gonna be the threat to bench him.
Yeah.
Then you bench him. And then now where we are right now, which may be a little earlier than they had hoped, but you have no cards left to play, basically, right? You just, this is the last one here. So, if he doesn't play well on Sunday, I find it hard to believe that they would go into next season without him, unless he pushes for some kind of fresh start. And then they say, okay, well, we'll trade him somewhere, but who would want him? I mean, it's a really tough spot for Zach Wilson and for the New York Jets. It's an interesting storyline to watch.
What is happening with Brock Purdy, where a guy that comes in, like, how is this possible? Where Zach Wilson, everybody loves him, you know, number two overall pick. And of course the Jets passed over Justin Fields, Trey Lance. Even you got Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, comes out and is now winning games. He's a folk hero. And you talk about a fan base that has gone overboard on a player. The 49er fans want to put him alongside of Steve Young and Joe Montana and all those greats. What has happened? How is this possible? How in this day? It makes sense. Like, whenever you talk about Tom Brady, that's 20 years ago. The world was different then, but now it seems almost impossible. And these guys still seem to fall through the cracks. How does something like this happen?
This is why I still don't understand the Trey Lance pick for the 49ers. I never did, ever, because you were trying to get a guy who was, you know, almost kind of playing above the X's and O's, right? With his ability to do a bunch of different things. That's not what that offense needs. That offense needs Brock Purdy, right? That offense needs Jimmy Garoppolo, a guy who's going to run it. And when you dial up things to create open receivers and open looks, hit the open looks. You don't need a sensational quarterback in that regard. I mean, Matt Ryan, going way back, was the epitome of what you needed as well, too, in the Kyle Shanahan offense. So that's why. I mean, Brock Purdy goes somewhere else, he's not playing this well this early, right?
Yeah.
So he impressed them. He's got a great makeup. He really does. There are other quarterbacks that probably had similar makeups that went to places where it's an overly complex scheme, or maybe you got to create with your legs at times. and you don't pan out. So Brock Purdy is just really exactly what. So this now sets up, because now you got Jimmy as a free agent.
Yeah.
You got Brock Purdy there. If he continues to play well and plays into the postseason, and then you got Trey Lance coming back, what do you do?
Awkward. I mean,
to me, you, I would think Jimmy goes elsewhere.
Yeah.
You got Purdy, you got Lance, you got an open quarterback competition, and if he beats him out, he beats him out.
Got to go that way. I was surprised that they didn't take Mac Jones for the same reasons you were just talking about Matt Ryan. Like, that's,
I think they
exactly
wanted to. Someday we're going to find out the full story of, because I believe that Kyle Shanahan was talked out of it. I do.
Oh.
And maybe he helped talk himself out of it. But at the beginning when they made the trade, because listen, I don't want to get into other reporters.
It feels like they were going for a different quarterback, a veteran quarterback.
I know what I heard, and I know what Adam Schefter said, and I know that Schefter's really dialed in that building, and I know that the people I talk to, pretty confident. And it was here, and then it was there.
Yeah.
So one day we're going to find out the full story of everything that happened. I can't wait to find out. By the way, is that your child's art behind you on your left?
Yeah.
Did I steal? Have you always done that?
Yeah, that's been something that I've done for a while.
Subconsciously from you?
Steal it. Your kids are adorable, by the way. So it's cool that Mary, no.
Yeah, this is Mary and Jesus and one sheep. You can barely see the sheep, but the sheep
is
there.
I love
it. Well, this begs the question, where's Joseph? Now, there was, I don't know, your Bible study
Cleveland.
When you were. He did think about leaving, right? Remember that part of the Bible where he had to be visited by an angel, which is amazing. Like,
right.
I probably shouldn't go too far down this road, but it's just amazing to me that Joe thought about leaving, right?
Well, like some of this story is hard to swallow, so I get it.
You might need a
visit from an angel to help convince you.
Well, yeah. Like,
so she's telling me, you're like, no. Here, I'll send in one of the angels. Now that I'm telling it, I hear it now, and you got to show up.
Well, anyway, I think this is when he was having his doubts, right? I got to go for a walk. I'm going for a pack of smokes, right? Like I'll be back.
It's a big responsibility.
Well, I'm glad he came back, because he's a big part of the whole thing.
Yeah, it's huge. Glad he was there. Like when I got to take the neighbor kid, that's an added responsibility. I can't imagine if it. And anyways, there's not. You don't have to go. But you know. But I'm saying that. No, this is not a. Did I steal this from you? That's not a thing.
I had it.
Adorable.
It was down here off camera, and I was like, I can't move the thing. Like they came in and they arranged everything. Like I can't move. I was like, yes, I can. Let them. Nobody said anything yet.
So what are they gonna do?
I feel bad because they come home with these pictures from school, and it's like, oh, this is so beautiful, and then you throw it in the trash. I'm like, well, if I rotate them through here, it's like it's a good way of me saying, well, before I throw it out, I put it on national TV and Adam Rank's podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the Sick Podcast. Like that's the big one.
Yeah.
Now they can be like, okay, now it's been in every theater. You know, you started it off in limited markets, and now it's in every theater. So now that's the big one. That's the one that it jumps over. So I can't wait for the football life, or I don't even know if we'll be able to do it, but some documenter. There needs to be a documentary on everything that went on. We accept this fact on this show that Aaron Rodgers was the intended person. It's okay. You're not breaking that. We've talked about that before. Carmen Vitale joins us all the time. She talks about it openly. I'm like, okay, we're just going to accept this as fact. This is like
you lost me. Rodgers was the intended target for what?
For the 49ers.
When?
When they made the deal to get Trey Lance.
Before that. Yes. Okay.
And then things broke. And then things broke down. Yeah. And then everything happened. And then I love the idea that the 49ers are like every one of us in our fantasy drafts. Like, I really want to draft Mac Jones. And there's some dude who's like, no, dude, you got to go Trey Lance. And it never made sense to me too. Would Justin Fields have worked with them? I think so. I think that he is more of a passer than Trey Lance. And that's the one thing that always bugged me. It doesn't bug me because he's with the Bears now. I'm glad the way this worked out, but it's like, so you're looking for a guy that does all this stuff that Justin Fields does, but you want a guy who hasn't proven it on the Power 5 level. Got it. Like, it just, that pick never made sense.
Yeah. It's, I think Carson Wentz at the time doing as well as he had done, certainly lent itself to, making that move for Trey Lance. Wentz is just a fascinating, I need a 30 for 30 on Wentz when this is all done.
Yeah. Where's he starting next year? Oh no. Who did I lose? Did I lose him? Did we lose him?
No, it's my wife. Oh. I wasn't ready to do the phone. I was going to do it on the laptop.
Oh, it's my bad. That's on us. Blame Sammy. By the way, Sammy's up. Our producer, Sammy, is also a Philadelphia Flyers fan. Can I say that?
You asking me?
Yeah. Can I say that you're a Flyers fan?
Is when people, he's a Flyers fan, he's a Phillies fan, he must be an Eagles fan. I'm like, I stopped being an Eagles fan when I covered the Eagles, right? Like, you get into this, what you do is different, Adam, so you could still be a fan. But when you're reporting and you're talking to people, it's just, you can't be a fan. In large part, when I was covering the Eagles, I had a really good relationship with Donovan McNabb, wound up working with him at Fox years later. But I was a young guy, I was in there popping in and out, so I didn't really see him that often. But every time I was there, we'd kind of have a good rapport. And I'm like, I like this guy. The rest of the media was like, he's very standoffish, kind of a jerk. I'm like, you just are not approaching him the right way. Not that I was an expert in approaching people. I was just a young guy who didn't know any better. And he responded to that for whatever reason. Then I went up and covered the Giants and I became, pretty close with Justin Tuck. And when Tuck would sack McNabb, I'd be like, how am I supposed to feel about that? Like, it's two guys I like. I'm glad to see one of them is doing well, but he just sacked the other guy. So it creates all kinds of, conflictions in my mind. Yes, I still keep my fandom in other sports for sure.
Okay, because Sammy is a huge Flyers fan, and he was so excited to have you on. And then I made the thing like, I made you join us with the show in progress, and he did get a chance to say hello. But in any event, because I was talking about that too, like you're not like I'm able to do it because I'm a fantasy, I'm a goofball, I do these oddball things. It's like, okay, it's accepted. If you're a national reporter, and when you were a reporter, like this is one of the things too. When I graduated from college, I went to Cal State Fullerton. One of my first jobs, I interned for the NFL, but I was also doing a side gig for the Orange County Register. And I had to cover our rival college, Long Beach State. And I used to get so much grief showing up into the press box. Like, oh, they got to send the Fullerton guy. And it's like, I'm here more than I'm there. And I'm now more invested in Jared Weaver than I am with any pitcher at Cal State. And you just get attached to the guys that you're with. And so I understand what you're talking about. Also, funny, Donovan McNabb also worked at the NFL Network for a while. And he was working there the year that John Cena said something about him on Raw, where he made a joke about, like, I don't choke like Donovan McNabb, because he was trying to get a rise out of the Eagles fans. And I had to ask him about it. And I was like, hey, Donovan, I'm sorry, guys. There's this wrestler named John Cena who said these things. He's like, oh, I heard that. And he goes, bleep that guy. And I laughed and I high-fived him. And I said, okay. I go, I can't use that, but thank you. So I like Donovan McNabb too. I thought he was – I understand where people are coming from, but I thought he was an okay guy. But that's not a question about anything. And now we're just name-dropping. This has become a name-drop-off. And I remember specifically one time George Clooney told me, never name-drop. It's not becoming. So I will stop doing that. But listen, this is way more time than I asked from you. I think we should call it a day. Are you ready? Okay. What are you doing? So what are you doing for, are you on TA today? This is Friday.
Me? No.
Yeah.
I am. No, I'm flying to Cleveland this afternoon. I said I was going to do our insider show, but now I'm starting to regret that because that tapes at 4 and my flight's at 6, I want to say. So don't think I did the math.
Let Pelissero take care of that.
Yeah, I think I may have to.
By the way, I meant to bring that up too. Like, I like Tom, good guy. We bonded over Blink 182. But I was still upset the week that I got to do GMFB that we were not paired together. That they didn't bring this team back together for a 1 week engagement. I was upset about that.
I was too. I should have been Good Morning Football weekend during the week, which we can still do. We gotta arrange everyone's schedules because they're gonna take their time off in the early summer. So we'll make it happen.
Yeah, I'm the bullpen guy. I wanted to go to the estate. I saw you hosting. I forget who was my guy. I think it was you were with Palmer. I'm like, oh, Palmer gets to go to the Garofalo estate.
Oh, yeah, my house. Yes. I didn't know what you meant by the estate. Yes.
I had to go to some bar, O'Hara's or whatever, which is fine. But in any event, listen, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. There's your Twitter handle. Right? Not that they need it. I'm sure they're following you by now. If they're not,
is
you're making
right?
a mistake.
I don't think that's right, to be honest with you. I think I'm just – the underscore is only on Instagram, so I can't block the underscore. Yeah.
Block the end. I can't either. But in any event, very cool. Thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it. It was a thrill.
Let's see if anybody's got that handle, and hopefully they don't have anything unsavory.
Oh, my gosh.
Because that would be – let's see. Now, there's a Mike Garof. Wait, it's me. It's clearly not me. It was someone who joined in November of 2022. This person has – there it is. That's fixed.
This
person has one tweet. Let's see what this one tweet is.
It's going to be something.
Cooper Kupp, in brackets, ankle injury – says that it might be time to hang up the cleats. Pushing 30 years old, the veteran superstar says he wants to spend more time with his wife and kids and take some time off from the game. Zero retweets, zero likes.
Thank loser. God. Way you to go. Loser. That guy was so proud of himself. Like, oh, I'm going to get him. I'm going to get everybody.
I'm going to get so many retweets.
I'm going to be on Deadspin.
But I never understand how those accounts get traction. They must be created by somebody who's got another account who then retweets that one, and that confuses people, I think, right?
Yeah, gotta be. By the way, before we sign off, I got to say, we were talking about Zach Wilson. That could end up hurting your fantasy team. And I got to remind everybody that Underdog Fantasy is the easiest way to play fantasy sports. It's simple to get started. Just head to underdogfantasy.com or download the app. I tell everybody to download the app because you'll get all the injury updates. And if you download it right now, use the promo code SICK, and Underdog Fantasy will match your first deposit up to $100. So you deposit $100, Underdog matches it. You deposit $25, they deposit $25. Like, it's a cool thing. Go to underdogfantasy.com, or better yet, download the app and get all of your fantasy needs right there. Of course, the stuff that you're not getting on the NFL Network. All right. Well, thank you so much, Jeezy. We appreciate you being here. Enjoy Cleveland, and during the offseason, let's do this again. Well, because listen, we get loose. We get wild. We kind of constrained it today, but this was a great conversation. Great having you. And good luck to everybody. Good luck. Good luck to the Bears, whatever. But in any event, Sammy, go ahead and play us out.
Good luck, everybody.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube,
Instagram,
Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. Brought to you by Underdog Fantasy and Air Pura.